Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Beis Hashem, HSP, share number 40. That's by highly sensitive people, share number 40. We were talking about the sensitive people regarding marriage, and one key thing that's very helpful, actually to all marriages, but especially when we're one of them is a highly sensitive person, is to learn to express vulnerability. That doesn't mean sharing aspects that are painfully blunt or harsh or anything like that. It's not to be used as a guilt control or manipulate others. The healthy vulnerability is when you admit, and there's a trust level, when you admit there's something hard or frustrating or scary for you, or, you know, be willing to share part of your life in an honest, deep way. Be honest when you are hurt by something. Express your true feelings, even if they are, you know, difficult emotions, rather than covering it up for the sake of politeness. Share your opinions, even if you're afraid, you know, you're sometimes fearful that the other person may disagree. And there needs to be a back and forth with that. Now, like we mentioned many times, it's important to be aware of narcissists or other controlling people. Narcissists believe they're superior to other people. And anyone that is a highly sensitive person will tell you that at some point in their lives, they've been in some type of relationship with a narcissist. Most don't know it at the time, but increasingly they begin to be feel taken advantage of and used, and wonder, you know, how to get out of that. And they don't consciously choose this type of friendship, but they're at a risk of being vulnerable to falling into this because of their gift, the empathetic gift that they have. Sensitive people are acutely aware of other people's emotions, and narcissists love to be on the receiving end of that. And they will work to throw the HSP off balance, keep them confused, using gaslighting techniques, lies, other manipulative tactics. They won't respect boundaries. And here is, if one is still involved with such a person, needs to detach as quickly as possible, emotionally. And that is really, really important. So at the end of this chapter in marriage, she discusses that aspect. But then she turns to the subject of children and how to recognize whether your child is highly sensitive. And that's learning new things quickly. They express strong emotion. They read people well, even at a very young age. They struggle to cope with change. They dislike big surprises or disruption in their routine. They have strong intuition about people or about events. They respond better to gentle correction rather than to harsh discipline. They cry or withdraw when yelled at or scolded. They have a harder time falling asleep after even in a fun or an exciting day. They jump at unexpected noises or touch. They complain when things feel off. Scratchy bed sheets or itchy clothing or labels and things like that on clothing. Refuse to eat certain foods because of their smell or because of their texture. They have a good sense of humor, generally speaking. They ask many questions. Make insightful comments. They want to save everyone, including a stray dog even sometimes. They must do things perfectly. They stress over grades or homeworks. They want to please adults in their life. They don't like noisy places. They worry a lot. They feel physical pain intensely. Not every child will have all of these symptoms, but many do. What are your sensitive child's greatest strengths or challenges? So here are some testimonies of various parents. One person, a mother, a parent of a 7-year-old boy, said that my son is very attuned to his own emotions as well as other people's emotions. He loves to understand how things work. He loves animals, loves nature, takes to heart why we should take care of the planet. Doesn't like being alone. That seems like a punishment to him. He needs to be with someone. which is hard with the family, which is interesting. Some HSPs prefer to be loners, but this one's a little different. Another parent, a mother, a parent of a 9-year-old girl, said that school is often overwhelming and stressful for my sensitive daughter. She can be very hard on herself, react strongly to subtle cues those around her. She's easily triggered by harsh words, a tone of voice, even when it's not directed at her, like when teachers address other students. Out in the world, she holds in all big feelings, then releases it in the safety of her home. On bad days, she closes up and questions her very existence in the world, but she has a big heart with a huge well of love to give. She's picky about those she loves, but she loves fiercely. She's a deep thinker and comes up with amazing, insightful comments. Another mother, also a parent of a 5-year-old girl, said, "My sensitive child notices every detail and has such an incredible love for learning. Her compassion for her living things highlight her heart of gold. She's beyond her years and so considerate of others. And learning to regulate her emotions has been challenging. And she has calming tactics, but overstimulation sometimes hits so hard and fast that it's impossible to stop. Usually overstimulation is due to her being off schedule or her inability to do things that she'd like to do, most often time constraints." Another mother who was a parent of 2 sensitive boys, ages 6 and 9. "One of the biggest challenges that my sensitive boys struggle is in managing their big emotions, especially when it comes to anger. My husband and I always made a point to let them know that big feelings are okay, but as they grow, we are working hard to give them coping tools. They don't always fit with other boys because their interests are not sports related. They have worked very hard to make friendships with like-minded children by providing many opportunities to one-on-one play and get-togethers. As they have grown, they've been able to develop strong friendships, but it took a lot of encouragement to help and help from us to build those friendships." One mother of a 16-year-old boy. "When he was younger, he was incredibly thoughtful. When the neighbor's husband passed away, he wrote a long letter at 8 years old. He once left money for a tooth fairy as a thank you for collecting his teeth." I think that's funny. Very touching, actually. "Adolescence, and particularly high school, has muted some of that vulnerability, and he has anxiety. I also noticed a lot of avoidance tactics. He has 1 year left in his school, and I'm hoping that with maturity, he'll be able to feel more comfortable in his own skin." Another parent of an 18-year-old girl, HSP, "When she was younger, she would frequently feel distraught and overwhelmed when she couldn't fix the world and its problems. As she matured, she's able to manage and celebrate her sensitivity. And now we laugh at challenges instead of crying, and I'm tremendously proud of her." Now, we see that sensitive adults don't always look sensitive. The same is true with children. The common misconception is that all sensitive children are timid. Now, some are indeed timid and shy, but many actually are not. Some are social, some are outgoing, some are extroverts. And some of them went into acting at a young age or played in musicals and was very outgoing. And to say that they're all passive or submissive or even weak, it's not true. Many HSPs do have strong personalities. And another thing also, like we said many times before in the Shiurim, the boys can be very, very sensitive. They don't have that technical, masculine, technical aspects of it, but they are very sensitive. But it's very difficult for them in this culture, if you're a man. Now, here is the thing with HSP children and how to affect them in positive ways. Environment does matter. The environment you place in your home, between the parents and in the family life, will tremendously affect the child, for better or for worse, in the way they're handling things. That's a very important concept to know. If you're raised in higher quality environments, you'll thrive more. If you're raised in low quality environments, then they'll have more behavioral problems. So the environment is very important. It's not to be discounted. And creating a healthy environment for HSPs at home and finding the right environment at school and who they are with other boys or girls their age are very, very important. We need to embrace them as parents, to embrace children for who they are, not to make them feel that there's something wrong with them. Instead of seeing your own child's sensitivity as a weakness, make a conscious choice to see it as a strength. When you model love and acceptance of your child's sensitivity, you make it easier for them to love and accept this part of themselves too. You ask them, what was hard for you today? What did you have a hard day today? What happened today? Is everything okay? And let them talk to you and be open in listening to them. And see, your child should see you're speaking up for them. And you are embracing their sensitivity. And you are appreciating their soft and sensitive heart and their caring heart. And also, when you need to discipline them, you embrace their sensitivity. Now, that doesn't mean you don't discipline them. It doesn't mean you don't help them grow, but not in the form of yelling or screaming out of frustration, but rather of kind guidance, gentle reprimand, softer reprimand. Because what is gentle discipline? That's paying attention to how you say what you say as a parent and, you know, in the tone of voice. Raised voices can overwhelm a sensitive system. Then their bodies go into threat mode. A sensitive child will remember your words too. They will never forget your harsh words. Your sarcasm or teasing or name-calling will cut that child very deeply. They'll notice your body language, the tension in your eyes, indicators of disapproval, of disappointment. And it may be hard when you're angry or frustrated with your child, when you're upset, but you have to try to speak to them as gently as possible, even when you are disciplining them. You correct a sensitive child in a quiet location, away from others. In general, you should do that anyway. If you have many children, don't embarrass one in front of the other. Otherwise, that this embarrassment, the other kids or the other adult will know, uh-oh, this child's in trouble and will feel worse. You quietly put them to the side. Avoid statements that shame your child. How could you do that? You're too sensitive. Stop crying and things like that. Calm space for them. Calm, sensitive sanctuary for them. And after you discipline them and tell them what you need to tell them, you make sure you tell them also that you love them with hugs and reassurance and point out their strengths. Be aware if they're going to come across a change, whether the change of school or going to camp that they're not used to. Transitions can be rough for sensitive children because they're deeply immersed in whatever activity they're doing or routine, and now they're being uprooted from that routine. So it's very important when they're having these transitions to be supportive of them. But sometimes you need to push them out of their comfort zone, but in a healthy way. They need to have these new situations. And sometimes you need to embrace it for them and help them. You encourage them. You don't push too hard, because then they'll never want to do it again. But you encourage them to take those steps to make those healthy changes or going to new things that are healthy. You praise them. You make it that it's an accomplishment for them. Try to go to your child to that new setting, wherever that new setting may be. Talk to your child about the new situation, whatever the new situation is. Talk to them in a non-judgmental way about their feelings. Validate their feelings. Give your child some control over those situations in any way you can. Be their emotional coach. Help them have emotional regulation. Teach them to be in control of their emotional states, which means the parent has to do a good job of being in control of their own emotional states. So as a parent, this is where you come in. You are already teaching your child emotional regulation skills every day by modeling how you yourself handle emotions, whether it's your own stress or whether it's your child's meltdown. The more intentional you are, the better example you will be. If you're responsive as a parent, you accept your child's emotions, they'll have calmer nervous systems. They'll have more self-confidence over time, better performance in school, more balanced reaction to intense emotions. John Gottman used to say parent model emotional regulation uses either emotional coaching or dismissiveness. Never use dismissiveness. Learn how to help them deal with their feelings in a healthy way. Don't dismiss their emotions. Emotional neglect in childhood is where there's a lack of emotional regulation there. And it's very important to learn emotional regulation, which means that the parent needs to emotionally regulate themselves, to identify emotions, learn how to control the intensity of those emotions, and how to manage those emotions in a very healthy way. You know, you could help the child when you notice a change, you seem a little quiet, or you don't want to play with friends today, then invite them to tell you what the cause is. Or maybe you're feeling sad because your friend is moving away. Introduce that sort of monitor of where their emotions are. Never discount emotions and the difficulty of some emotions, and to teach yourselves and teach others how to regulate those emotions in the best possible way. Bracha v'atzlacha.